Today is October 31st, 2012, and this is a very special edition of the CoasterGallery.com podcast. My name is Joel Rogers. Thanks for listening. Today we want to talk about Mickey, and we want to talk about Sandy. But first, let me explain what we're doing today. I know I promised in the last podcast that we would talk about looping roller coasters, we would talk about photography. You know what? There were some major news stories this week that I feel that need to be addressed. So we're going to put those on hold for a little bit. Jeff and I did record a quick little talk about looping coasters, but we're going to need to save that for next week. So I want to talk about Lucas and Disney. I want to talk about Hurricane Sandy and its effect specifically on roller coasters. And then I will give you one little roller coaster tidbit. I recorded a live hint as to what roller coaster pictures I'm working on this week. But stay tuned for that. First of all, what's going on at Disney? Well, Disney just decided to acquire George Lucas's Lucasfilms for a little over $4 billion. Part of the deal is a stock swap, so the value of the deal is going to vary on Disney's stock price. But essentially, it's going to be slightly over $4 million to acquire Lucas. I normally don't edit the podcast, but I have to because I just said $4 million. I meant to say $4 billion. That's billion with a B. $4,000 million. Okay, back to the live recording. It's not just the Star Wars property and all the various tie-ins and movies. It's also Skywalker Sound and Industrial Light and Magic, which are two major players in producing movies. So it's a huge deal. What does it mean specifically for Star Wars? Well, they said that we're going to see Episode 7, a new Star Wars movie, in around 2015. And then every year or two after that, we're going to see Episodes 8 and 9. So if you're like me and grew up with Star Wars, that's a pretty big deal thinking about three new Star Wars movies. Honestly, I didn't like the last three. Episodes 1, 2, and 3 didn't do much for me. But as a child that was born in the 70s, you know, the first three episodes, which are 4, 5, and 6, don't ask why, that's a major portion of my life. I grew up with the Star Wars toys, and even today, I just got a Star Wars Millennium Falcon Lego kit as a gift for Christmas, and I have a Star Wars Lego video game. So it's a big property. If you walk down the aisle, the toy aisle at Target, there's a lot of Disney stuff. There's a lot of Pixar and Cars, but you know what? There's a ton of Star Wars stuff. What has it been, 36 years since the first movie came out? And they are still moving a lot of merchandise, which is amazing to think the legs that they have. They recently had an animated TV series, The Clone Wars. Honestly, I didn't see a lick of it, so I have no idea what it was about. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Disney. Now, Disney has made some big purchases recently. We all know that they acquired Pixar. They acquired Marvel Comics a couple of years ago. It's been interesting to see how Pixar's been very closely integrated. Marvel itself is still kind of standalone. We don't see comic book characters at the Disney theme parks yet. But there are definitely some tie-ins corporately with their owning of ABC and other networks. You might see a lot of corporate tie-ins like that. The Marvel purchase has gone real well. They made the Avengers movie, which made, what, like $1.5 billion. So they're just raking in the cash, and they're cranking out comic book movies like crazy. What are we going to see at the amusement parks? I'm not real sure. They haven't said specifically what's going to happen yet. George Lucas and Disney have had a relationship before. We've had the Star Tours ride at both Disneyland and Disney World. That's been around for about 20 years. And then they recently refreshed and rebooted both of those and really upped the technology and redid the storyline on those. The Star Wars weekends in Florida are a huge deal. Every year they have thousands of Star Wars conventioneers attend the meetings, and everybody's in costume and they're trading pins, and they're people from the shows attending and giving speeches, and it's a huge deal. Now, are we going to see more Star Wars rides? I don't know. Are we going to see what some of the fanboys are dreaming of, a standalone Star Wars park? Who knows? But I would not be surprised to see a Star Wars, something major Star Wars, to compete with Harry Potter. As a matter of fact, this announcement was made yesterday because Universal is going to make an announcement tomorrow about their big plans, which probably is going to be Transformers coming to Florida and more details about Harry Potter at both parks. But interesting timing of Disney getting the word out yesterday to try and beat Universal to the punch to get people talking about Star Wars. I think this is a cool thing. Star Wars and Lucas are pretty big names, and I hope it goes well with the big rat. Now, on a more serious note, Hurricane Sandy obviously impacted a major portion of the United States here in the last few days, and the effects are not over, and they're not going to be over for a long time. On a personal note, my brother Jeff, who you've heard on other podcasts, was in the New Orleans area, living in the New Orleans area when Hurricane Katrina hit, and he knows firsthand how difficult it could be. He lost one of his jobs. His wife is a nurse who was severely impacted by the hurricane, and he had some minor property damage. Obviously, it could have been tremendously worse, as you know what happened down there. My personal impact with Hurricane Sandy was I had to land an airplane with 150 people on it in Palm Beach, as it was just kind of flirting with the outer bands of the hurricane about a week ago, as it was still swirling around the Bahamas area. Boy, I tell you what, just to be that close to it, to feel the power, to see the surf, to watch those long period swells below me in the ocean, to watch where and how the waves were breaking was just dramatic. The last I really got a good look out was about 1,000 feet above the airport. Just amazing to see the power of the wind there. At 1,000 feet, we had hurricane force winds. We were just right around that 70, 75 mile an hour mark at 1,000 feet. The last 1,000 feet, the winds did slack off to about 45 mile an hour gusts when we were touching down. Honestly, I wish I would have had the presence of mind to look around and enjoy and take in the sights as we were touching down. But honestly, I was busy landing the airplane, and it was one of the hardest landings I've done in the last 5 or 6 years. So I was a little preoccupied with keeping everybody safe instead of sightseeing. And anyway, as dramatic as that was nothing. That storm intensified and then obviously hit the New Jersey area. Historic storm. There's so many records that it broke for rainfall and snowfall and low pressure and storm surge. As I record this, there are over 30 deaths in the United States, which is tragic because we all knew the storm was coming. There was no surprise at all. The forecasters had this one nailed a week in advance. Government officials had the warnings out in plenty of time, so I'm sad to see the loss of life. However, the property damage, there's not much you can do with such a tremendously strong storm. As I speak, the airports in New York are still closed. I'm glad that I'm not flying this week. Last I heard, LaGuardia, literally the whole airport was underwater. Both runways totally submerged. The terminal is totally surrounded by water. I've seen pictures of the jetways, and it's a jetway, and it goes right to the water just because, it's waist-deep water there. So I can't imagine the amount of cleanup that's going to have to go on. Specifically, what's happened to the roller coasters? Well, the two major ones, the largest damage that I've seen so far in East Central New Jersey, right kind of by Toms River, the little town of Seaside Park, New Jersey. Funtown Pier is literally a pier that juts out into the Atlantic Ocean, and a significant portion of the pier did collapse during Hurricane Sandy. The Pinfari looping coaster, entitled, well, creatively Looping Coaster, is gone. It's destroyed in wreckage in the water. I couldn't really see in the pictures what Mighty Mouse is like, but I know that part of the pier around the Funtown Family Coaster was falling apart. So they're gonna have some serious issues at best on that one. And then just almost a few blocks away, Casino Pier. Again, a pier out in the water, and a good portion of the pier is now gone. The northeast corner of it, where the Starjet Miler coaster sat, is missing, and the coaster is in the water in pieces. The Wild Mouse looked like it's in good shape from the pictures that I saw. I'm not sure about the other two coasters, but those two parks are going to have, at best, a ton of damage and a lot of cleanup this winter. At worst, we might not even see them reopen. Obviously, it's too hard to say. The people can hardly even get to these places now to assess the damage, let alone start the process of cleaning up. So stay tuned. If I get any more news on those parks, I will let you know. The other close park to that one, and the little Dragon Wagon coaster there at Bayville, New Jersey, in Blackbeard's Cave, I haven't heard anything about that one. The other one that I have major concerns about is Steel Pier in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And that's another one that sits on the water and bore the brunt of this one. Now, you've seen a lot of footage of the flooding in the city of Atlantic City. That's very dramatic and has taken a lot of the time on the news stations. So because of that, I haven't seen what the shoreline of Atlantic City looks like. So I'll be curious to see what happened to the couple coasters there at the Steel Pier. Now, the good news is a lot of the historic coasters in the area did fare well, specifically the Coney Island area, Coney Island Cyclone, relatively unscathed. So Coney Island, Dino's Wonderland Pier, Luna Park, and Scream Zone did well. And then I also just had a report come in from southern New Jersey that Maury Piers was in fairly good shape. Now, there's obviously a lot of little damage. There's a lot of cosmetic things. There's a lot of bits and pieces that are going to need fixed. But we don't have the huge collapse of the entire park like we have in central New Jersey. So anyway, I hate to sound like a jive DJ and start asking for donations, but you know what? If you could find a place in your heart to help out a little bit, there are so many ways. Specifically, the Red Cross is probably one of the better things to donate to. And they make it so easy. You can simply text 5 digits to the Red Cross number, and $5 or $10 comes right on your right in your phone bill, right to the Red Cross. You could give your time, you could give your blood, you can give supplies. There's so many places to help out there on the East Coast. If you're out there living in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, Rhode Island area, I'm thinking about you. I used to live on the East Coast, and I've had my share of tropical storms, but nothing like this record-setting Hurricane Sandy. So our thoughts and prayers go out to all the people that are dealing with this. If you are out east and you do have some personal stories you would like to share on a future podcast, I'd love to hear them. Joel@CoasterGallery.com, Facebook.com/CoasterGallery. You can catch it on Twitter @CoasterGallery. We're also on G+, so there's lots of ways. Send me a message. Let me know what happened. Most of the parks were just finishing up their Halloween celebrations on Sunday, and the brunt of this thing hit Monday evening, so it got a little hairy there. Some of the parks like Dorney and King's Dominion were debating whether they would shut down early. Most of those parks are in pretty good shape, but if you live anywhere, New York, Philly, D.C., shoot me an email or send me a message, or if you want to record a brief audio message and just email it to Joel@CoasterGallery.com, I'd love to hear it and include it on a podcast. I'd like to end the CoasterGallery.com podcast on a slightly lighter note and give you a hint about what I've been editing this week. I've been adding a bunch of new pictures from an amusement park that I recorded a little audio hint live standing next to one of the coasters. If you recognize what amusement park I'm talking about, you can go to CoasterGallery.com and click on that park and see some of the new pictures. Haven't posted them all yet, and I haven't released the podcast that I recorded live at the park, but you'll get a nice little preview there of some of the new stuff that's coming. If you have no clue what amusement park I'm referring to, well, just bear with me in a couple weeks. I'll release all the park's details, the video I recorded there, the podcast, the interview that I recorded there. So bear with me. In the meantime, good luck out east. Thanks for listening to the CoasterGallery.com podcast, and I hope you can do something out there this week to have a little fun.
You may be familiar with the term exit through the gift shop. In fact, there was even a movie titled Exit Through the Gift Shop. But do you know of a roller coaster that goes through the gift shop? I do, and I'll tell you next week on the CoasterGallery.com podcast.